That's true. All right. The title of my message today, this is one of the longest sequels ever because it's called God and My GPS Part 2. I did Part 1 like 12 years ago. So, a little bit of a gap between Part 1 and Part 2. I remember when I did Part 1, GPSs had just come out. They hadn't been out very long. And the first trip we made with our GPS was to Myrtle Beach. So we named our GPS Myrtle. And the early ones, you know, they weren't nearly as good as the ones we have today. You know, they get you like a half mile close to your destination. Basically, you had to look around to find it. And they didn't have automatic updates like we have today. I remember driving toward Charleston one time and the GPS told me to turn right and there was nothing there but a cornfield. You know, and so they had redone the road sometime prior to that and they didn't get the update. So the ones we have today are incredible. They really are amazing. They're not 100% foolproof, but they're pretty good. And if you have a fairly late model car, it might come with the GPS built into it. But the ones that we have a cable that hooks to our phone and then hooks to the USB on the dash area. And then we use the smartphone's GPS and it shows up on our display, which is really good. If you have a smartphone, the two best GPSs are Google Maps and Waze, W-A-Z-E. And they're able to do some absolutely amazing things. And so we had an interesting trip, especially the one going back. And I wanted to talk about that, but I also wanted to talk about, I wanted to compare driving with a GPS and a Christian's life path with God. Now, a GPS can tell you many things. It can tell you how many miles you have to go on your trip before you get there. It's kind of like it tells you this is how far you have to go. And after we're saved, we have our own life path on how far we have to go. Your GPS can also tell you how many minutes are left on your trip, how many hours and minutes are left on your trip. And of course, after we're saved, we only have so many hours and minutes to serve the Lord, and we don't know what that is. A GPS can tell you when your exits are coming up, and they can even tell you what lane to get in so you can take your exit. Just like God, He guides our path. A GPS can give you warnings. The one that we have tells us if there's a speed trap up ahead. I'm not sure. that doesn't sound legal, but it does. Speed trap up ahead. It will tell you if there's obstacles in the road up ahead. It will tell you if there's heavy traffic up ahead. It will tell you if there's a vehicle accident up ahead. Any form of obstacle, it will tell you. We Christians face persecution. We face obstacles. We face challenges. And God gives us warnings. Now, He does this in many different ways. But whether we heed His warnings or not is our choice. But ignoring His warnings can be disastrous. But if we do heed His warnings, He will provide detours. God will provide detours to avoid obstacles. Wrong turns. A GPS, if you make a wrong turn, not that I've ever made a wrong turn, but if you make a wrong turn, it will reroute you. And that is really nice because I remember back in the day, you know, missing an exit. Maybe there's heavy traffic and you just can't get over in the lane quick enough to take that exit. And all you can do is take the next exit and pull over and get the map out and look at it and try to figure out where you are. But with a GPS, if you do that, she just immediately starts telling you these other roads to get on you've never been on before. And you just keep going, and next thing you know, you're back where you need to be. Well, Jesus also will sometimes correct us when we start going down the wrong path. And he'll correct us and get us back on that right path. He will reroute us. Also, and this is really weird when I stop to think about it, a GPS, or in our case, Myrtle, they can look ahead to your future. Because when you're on a trip, where you are going, your destination is your future. And they might say, up ahead is a problem. Up ahead is a delay. We suggest a detour. Now, the problem is that most people still can't really put full trust in a GPS, even the new ones. Many of them still doubt their GPSs, but they also doubt God. And they do that because of a lack of what I call critical thinking. I'm a big fan of critical thinking. Critical thinking is where, instead of making assumptions, you ask the right questions. Okay, I want to give you some examples here about critical thinking. Okay, you look at your GPS, and as you look at it, it might say you have 200 miles to go, and you have 220 minutes to go before you reach your destination. If you happen to be going 60 miles per hour, then it's perfect. Just as the mile changes, so does the minute, because you're traveling a mile a minute. So you can sit there and watch the numbers go down. But I was watching that, and as we were traveling, I was watching the mileage go down, but all of a sudden the minutes went up. And I thought, what? My first impression was, that's impossible. How can the minutes go up if the miles are going down? And that's when I realized that that GPS could see what was ahead. And when we were still in North Carolina, it told us that there was a problem on I-64 around the Beckley area. And when we got there, we were going to have to take a detour. And I'm thinking, well, we're still hours away from that area. Surely if it's like an accident, they'll have it cleared up before we get there. But that was not the case. We wound up taking a 60-mile detour between Beckley and Charleston. I don't know if any of you have ever been on those roads. Usually there's a turnpike there, the toll road. But these are like country roads that will still get you there. But you know, the only good thing about it was we didn't have to pay a toll. But it reminded me of that Beatles song, The Long and Winding Road. That's kind of what it was like, about 60 miles of that. But it was better than just sitting there and being stalled because of whatever. I never did find out what the delay was. Now, sometimes in our lives, God will suggest detours. He will say, I see something in your future that if you keep going down this path, this is what's going to happen to you. I suggest you do this. Now, we don't have to take them. We didn't have to take our detour. We could have said, you know what? I don't believe this. I don't believe this GPS. I'm going to go to Beckley. But if we'd done that, we might still be there. Whatever it was major. But here's the thing. How do we, as Christians, how do we discern the intent of God from the trickery of Satan? We talked about this in Bible study here not too long ago. Sometimes doors close. We want to do something and doors close. Is God closing the door or is Satan closing the door? Should we push through? Should we keep going? How do we figure that out? Well, I got to thinking and studying about this, and I feel that God will not close the door on a productive ministry. Now, Satan will. Satan will try to do anything he can to keep you from being productive. And if we go our own way, if we're off from God's will because of some kind of selfish desire, we want to do what we want to do, then yes, God may discipline us. He may close the door. So I think when we're we've got a project or something we're trying to do or a certain path we want to go down, we need to check it with Scripture. Does it agree with Scripture? If it totally agrees with Scripture, if it has a good chance of being a great ministry, if it has a good chance of bringing people to Christ, God is not going to get in the way. God is going to support you. But one aspect of critical thinking involves not assuming anything about the way things will go. Because, again, like I said, if you assume, you are closing your mind to other possibilities. And you are restricting your options. I'm going to give you another example. This doesn't have to do with the GPS. Many of you probably have cars that have an electronic display, and it will show you your current mileage that you're getting. Mm-hmm. And it will show you your average mileage that you're getting. Mm-hmm. Now, your current gas mileage depends on if you're going up a hill or going down a hill. I mean, it goes up to like 100 miles per gallon. If you're going down a hill, it goes past that. If you're going up a hill, you might get 5 miles per gallon. That's your current. The current really varies, but the average should be pretty true. Well, when you pull up that screen that gives you your average mile per gallon, in a lot of cars, it will tell you how many miles you have left on that tank of gas. It might say 150 miles to go on this particular tank of gas. Now, one thing I noticed, I was driving one day, and I'm driving along, and it says you have 250 miles to go on this tank of gas. And so I'm driving along, and then I look at it half hour later, and it says you have 280 miles to go on this tank of gas. And I looked at that. Back there a ways, it said I had 250 left. I'm continuing to drive. Now it says I have 280 left. So the natural thing to do is to assume that it's crazy. Because that just didn't make any sense at all. But then if you start thinking critically and wondering how that can be, and if you figure out that this digital has never lied to you before, you're trying to figure out what's going on here. And that's when it hit me. That estimate of how many miles you have left on that gas tank has to do with your current mile per gallon that you're getting. So if I'm driving through Guile Police and I'm getting 20 mile per gallon, 22 mile per gallon, it figures out I have 250 miles to go in the tank. But then I get out on the highway and I'm getting 35 mile per gallon or more, it recalculates and it says, based on what you're getting now, you've got this far to go before your tank goes empty. And so it can actually increase if your mile per gallon increase. So again, we don't assume that something is wrong just because initially it doesn't make sense. In the same way, we have to be careful when it comes to assuming that our selfish will is always what God wants for us. Some think that if earthly wealth makes us happy and God wants us to be happy, then he's going to bless us that way. That's an assumption. There are many pastors who will tell you that God wants you to have great wealth. He wants you to have worldly wealth and worldly success. It's your right as a Christian. They assume that wealth is a sign of God's blessing. Okay? Again, they assume that great wealth is a sign of God's blessing. But that's not what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 23, this is after Jesus has had the encounter with the rich young ruler, and he told him to sell his possessions and give to the poor and come and follow him. And the rich young ruler said he wasn't able to do that. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 19, 23, I assure you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished, and they asked him, then who can be saved? Because they thought, man, if a rich man can't get in, what chance do I have? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's our key scripture for the day. So a rich man can be saved by grace just as a poor man can. But his love of money will often keep him from turning to God. Rich people can be saved, just like anybody else. The problem is, many of them don't want to be. Why? Because when they're rich, when they're wealthy, they are self-sufficient. And sufficiency leads to pride. And pride is the enemy of God. It's one of the seven things that God hates. Many people also assume that following Jesus is an easy road. That's not what the scriptures say. In Matthew chapter 8, 19, an expert of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have dens and the birds in the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So Jesus, in effect, is saying, do you realize what you're saying? Do you understand the sacrifices and hardships that you may encounter? He didn't gloss it over. Some people assume that good people will make it into heaven. Yet Jesus said that no one is good. Matthew 19, 18, we are all deserving of spiritual death, being cut off from God's presence. So, there is no one good, no, not one. We deserve to be cut off from God's presence based on our own merit that we have. There are people that assume that doing good works will earn us the right to go to heaven when we die. They assume that. Their good works will get him into heaven. Guess what scripture I'm going to read now? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. Remember what I said about pride? So that no one can boast. Now, when we were coming back from Myrtle Beach and we were just finishing up taking that 60-mile detour, the problem with that 60-mile detour is that there was construction on it. So it didn't matter which way we went, we were slowed down. I think it took us an extra 2 hours to get home. So we were almost to this one turnoff, and it said, my GPS said 0.7 miles left. And traffic had totally stopped. And what happened was people were just coming up and trying to turn. And finally, I think they got somebody to direct traffic. And we slowly, it took like, I don't know, half hour to get up there. We finally get up there and we cross this bridge and it's really heavy traffic. Of course, we both have to go to the bathroom by now. And we go to this McDonald's. And when we're leaving the McDonald's, it looked like we needed to turn left because we had come in this other way. And I looked at the GPS and said to turn right and take this other route. And Marcella says, that's going to put us right back where we came from. I said, I know it looks that way, but I'm going to do what the GPS says and see what happens. And sure enough, it looked like we were going to go right back on that crazy bridge. But we wound up going under the bridge and it wound up being the right way after all. Our instinct said, this is crazy. We need to go the other way. But Myrtle was right. Myrtle was right. If we are in his will, if we are in God's will, if we are going down the right path, and that's a path that agrees with Scripture, then we need to listen to him and to trust what he says. Otherwise, we will find ourselves hopelessly lost. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you. Help us to know when we're in your will. Help us to have discernment. When obstacles come, when doors are closing, help us to know. Help us to reflect. Help us to be able to judge ourselves and to be able to ascertain, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? Is this for me or is it for you? Help us to understand that. Help us to know our scriptures, to be able to look in the Bible and see if what we're doing agrees with your word. Help us, dear Lord, again, to trust in you and to direct our lives based on the trust that we have in you. Whether it be a ministry that we're doing, whether it be a big decision that we need to make, help us to lean on you and to trust in you in everything that we do. Dear God, we know that we are your children. As we read in the responsive reading today, we are children of God. You are our Father, dear Lord. And we just pray that we can trust you completely and explicitly. We know that we should, but sometimes the flesh is weak and we don't. But dear Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to strengthen us in this way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.